Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Oh, Jesus, I'll never forget. Oh, never. Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Oh, Jesus, I'll never forget. No, never. Oh, hallelujah. Can we lift up our hands to the Lord today? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. He's done so much for me that I cannot tell it all. Oh, I cannot tell it all. No, I cannot tell it all. He has done so much for me that I cannot tell it all. He has taken my sins away. Oh, yes, he healed me when I was sick. Oh, I cannot tell it all. Oh, I cannot tell it all. No, I cannot tell it all. He healed me when I was sick. Oh, I cannot tell it all. He has taken my sins away. Hallelujah. Oh, and bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Oh, bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Oh, there's no other name I know. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Praise the Lord. Kids, come on and march for the missions. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Oh, bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Oh, bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Oh, there's no other name I know. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, no other name under heaven can save. Oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus. Oh, there's no other name I know. Oh, and there is power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. Oh, power in the name of Jesus. Oh, no other name I know. Oh, there is no other name I know.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Wonderful, wonderful. Living precious God. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Jonah chapter 1 is where I'd like to turn your attention. Amen. I believe probably most of the folks in the house are familiar with the story of Jonah. Amen. Amen. God is good. God is good all of the time. And he's good to everybody. Amen. Even those people that don't know him, God's still good to them. Amen. God's still good. Whether if we realize it or not, God is still good. Whether if we want to admit it or not, God is still good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Jonah chapter 1, beginning to read at verse number 1 down to verse 3, and then I'll let you be seated. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. My topic today is running from God. Whoo, it's a scary one. Whoa, you don't want to run from God. God knows where you are. God knows where you're going. And God knows where you're going to be. You can't hide from God. Let's pray. Lord, I love you. I thank you. We ask even now, Lord, that you would help us, Lord. I pray that you would, God, even quicken my mind and the words I would say, that by your word, Lord, you would touch our hearts today. I pray your anointing, Lord, upon this message and upon our hearing, Lord, that our hearts, Lord, would receive your purpose and your will for this service. Thank you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Praise God. Just by lift your hand up if you're very familiar with the story of Jonah. All right, so most of the people in the house know what I'm going to tell you. But you know what? I've got something to tell you from God today. Amen. This is right here from the Word of God. Amen. It starts out Jonah getting a word from the Lord, and he gets commissioned by God to go and preach to this great city. He's commissioned. He's appointed by God. And what does he do? He turns around and goes the other direction. Here it is, the man of God, the prophet, running from the will of God. You know, you might shake your head and say, oh, that wasn't so smart. There is lots of people in our world today. You know them. I know them. I've got people in my life, my own family. I've got people that I know and love dearly that ran from God. Wow. You read chapter 1, you read chapter 2, it's the story of him running and not getting better, but yet getting worse. And then let me pick up in chapter 3. Now, by chapter 3, Jonah has got on the boat. Jonah has been found out. Jonah is now experiencing that which it was bad, it got worse. How many people in our world ever experienced that? It got bad, and then it didn't get better, it got worse. In chapter 3, beginning at verse number 1, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Here comes the word of the Lord to somebody running from God, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Sounds a whole lot like the message he got the first time. In fact, it's the same message. Praise the Lord. So Jonah arose and went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. It would take you 3 days to walk from one end to the other. 3 days' journey to walk through the city. That's a big city. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. So he's nearing halfway. And he cried and said, Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. The king is doing that. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. Wow, it sounds pretty serious. Don't, you know, some people take fasting, well, I'll skip breakfast. Some people take fasting, well, I won't eat meat. Some people take fasting and, well, they'll do it for, you know, until supper time. This guy, the king, is saying, no food anywhere. No, you don't even feed your animals. Don't even feed your cattle. Don't even feed your pets. And he's fasting and praying and sitting in sackcloth and ashes. Where am I at? Verse 8. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. And who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. God always sees. He always sees people who repent. God don't miss that. Amen. They turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them. And he did it not. They changed the mind of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Another New Testament place where this is mentioned, Matthew chapter 12, beginning with verse 38 to 41. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. Jonah had a tough message. 40 days and the city will be destroyed. He was preaching God's judgment. It was a wicked place. It was an evil place. And Jonah was telling them, God is going to get you. Amen. The city will be overthrown, was the message Jonah had. Verse number 40, for as Jonah was 3 days, 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. Jesus was comparing the people of his day, those that he was preaching to the city of Nineveh, that great city that the prophet Jonah preached unto. You see, let me back up and slow down for just a minute. No man can find a hiding place from his own conscience. Or you can't hide from God's will. Repentance and doing God's will brings unprecedented blessing and even revival to your life. When you wake up, when you determine, when you decide, I will serve God today and all the days of the rest of my life. When you make that determination, things are different. Amen. Things have changed in your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. I made that decision a long time ago. Amen. I am not going to live in the world. I am going to serve God today and tomorrow, and every day that I wake and breathe, I will give praise and serve the Lord. Amen. We got to determine in our own life. And nobody can make that decision for you. It's something that we got to decide for ourselves. Amen. The calling of God, it is serious business. Jonah, he was running, and his running caused him, it's because he ran from God that he came very near unto death. He sank deep into the sea in the belly of that great fish. Amen. I can only imagine. In fact, I cannot imagine. I don't have that vivid of an imagination. In fact, it would be a terrible understanding to really understand what it was like inside of the belly of a great fish down in the depths of the sea with seaweed wrapping around your head. It's beyond my comprehension. I can't imagine what that would be like. But it was serious. His repenting, he got inside that belly, he got inside that fish. Guess what? He started repenting. He started promising God, man, I'm going to do it, God. I'll do it. You know, when people go from a calling from God in their life, and then they reject that call of God in their life, and they fall away from God, or they choose not to go and do what God told them to do. Jonah went the complete opposite direction. He was supposed to go to Nineveh, and he went the other way. Wow. The call of God is not to be taken lightly. Amen. There's people right here. In fact, I would say everybody here has a calling of God upon your life. God wants you to do something particularly important that only you can do in His kingdom. Only you know your family like you do. Only you has the influence on those that are around you like you do. Amen. God has a purpose for you in His kingdom. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me give you five characteristics of the nature of God's call. Amen. This is to everybody. This is to me. It's to you. The nature of God's call. God's call is universal. God does not wish or want anyone to perish. He didn't make hell for people. He made hell for angels that were fallen. And if any person winds up in hell, it's because they chose not to serve the Lord. It was their choice. God doesn't send people there. People choose to go there by choosing not to serve the Lord. Amen. God doesn't want anybody to end up there. The word come is a universal invitation. Come unto me. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. You know, sometimes we would push the presence or push the patience or push the endurance of God. God has been calling some people a long time. God's been knocking on your heart more than just a few days. Amen. Some people, for years, God has been calling them. God has been drawing them. God has made opportunity after opportunity. God has set everything in order for that person to come back unto him. Amen. He's not slack. Or don't count slack this, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Everybody should repent. Everybody should turn to God. Amen. That's number one. The call of God is universal. God wants everybody to be saved. Number two, God's call is both universal. That was number one. And number two, it's personal. God's call is personal to the individual person. Amen. It is a personal call from God to the specific individual. God often uses people and circumstances to speak unto that person, but it is a personal encounter with God. Amen. When you repent of your sins, it's a personal relationship with God. Amen. When you get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, amen, your sins are remitted. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. The only way your sins, no, God, Jesus Christ paid the price for sin of all mankind. But your sins are washed away when you are baptized. Amen. Nobody can be baptized for you. Amen. Nobody can repent for you. Amen. And God isn't going to give somebody else the Holy Ghost for you. Amen. It's something he wants every individual to experience. It's personal. Number three, God's call is unavoidable. You can't shake it off. You can't hide it. You can't cover it up. God will persist in his call to a person. Those who run from God's call, they are the most miserable people that I have ever met. They will never be satisfied in the world. There is nothing in the world that can take the place of God. Amen. People have tried to, you know, they try different things. They try to be popular. They try to be famous. They try to be rich. They try to, you know, some people try drugs. Some people try alcohol. Some people try lots of different things. But there's nothing that will replace the calling of God in your life. Amen. It's unavoidable. To avoid God's call brings his wrath. Amen. Returning to his call brings healing. Amen. God is going to help. When you repent, when you turn, when God is calling you and you heed that call and come back to Him, it doesn't matter if it's been 10 minutes or 10 years. Amen. Or it doesn't matter if it's been decades. When you repent, come back to God, God heals you. Heals your mind. Heals your body. Heals your spirit. Praise the Lord. Escaping the call of God is impossible. You can't get away from the calling of God. Amen. So number three was it's unavoidable. Number four, God's call is purposeful. It has a reason. It has meaning. God's call is to a specific mission, to a purpose, a destiny, if you will. Everything God does has purpose. Amen. Every person that God calls has a reason in God's plan. Amen. God wants you to do something only you are able to do. Amen. I can't do it like you can. Just like you can't do it for me. I can't do it for you. But God wants you to do your thing for Him. Amen. It's purposeful. Number five, God's call is challenging. Amen. It's challenging for me. Brother Dyke spoke of it. It's not easy to make a commitment to God and to keep it. To make a pledge to God and do it. Amen. To be faithful to God and keep it. It's not easy. I'll tell you now, it's going to take a life of commitment to really serve the Lord. Amen. But it's rewarding. It's a blessing. It's great. It's wonderful. What a blessing it is to serve the Lord. It's a challenge, but it's worth it. Amen. And your life is blessed when you serve God. And then when you die, it gets better. Woo! Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Read the back of the book. We win. Praise the Lord. God called Noah to build a boat on dry land. Pretty big task. Moses, he had a speech impediment, a handicap, if you will. He couldn't speak clearly. And he called him to lead 3 million people through a desert. Abraham called him to sacrifice his son, his only son, unto the Lord. Amen. The apostles, almost all of them were martyred, all but one. And John, he spent time on Patmos in a prison island and wrote the book of Revelation. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you what, God's call is challenging. God called these people to do something specific for Him. Amen. But you know what? When God calls you, He also enables you. It's not you that is able. Do you think that Noah would have been able to go around in all the earth and gather two of the unclean and seven of the clean of every species of beast on the earth? No. He could have spent he and his children's lifetimes and never come close. But God made it possible. Amen. God made it come to pass. Amen. Moses and Abraham and the apostles, they all had impossible tasks. How could 12 men reach the whole world with the gospel? Without God, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. God has tests. Pastor's lunch is today, and if you're new to our church, I invite you to come to Pastor's lunch. Because I want to share with you the vision of this church. The vision of this church is not to build a mega building. No, God didn't call us to do that. God didn't call me to do that. But God called me to preach the truth of Jesus Christ. He called me to preach who Jesus is. Amen. And God is going to raise up preachers from this church. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is going to establish his kingdom. Amen. And he's going to use us to do it. Praise the Lord. I believe it. I believe it with every portion and part that is within me. God will do it. Amen. Running from God, it's my topic. Running from the call of God. You see, he was a statesman prophet, Jonah. Highly esteemed and very influential. 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 25, I'm not reading there, but it's the place that mentions him as instrumental in saving some of Israel's lost territory during the reign of Jeroboam II. He was influential with kings, with nations. God's message: in 40 days, Nineveh will be overthrown. God's judgment is coming. Man, that's a tough message to preach. Jonah did not want to deliver such a message. And I can only speculate at the reasons why. But that's a tough message. I suppose he didn't want to preach that message there because Assyria was a great kingdom. It was a big place. Assyria was Israel's enemy. You want me to go to the enemy and preach that God is in judgment of them? Jonah perhaps feared for his reputation. He had a reputation of preaching to God's people, to the nations and the kingdoms that follow the Lord. He felt that he was called to be God's spokesman to God's people. And here he was to preach to a heathen, Assyrian, Nineveh. Might hurt his reputation. Assyrians were sadistic. They killed the other prophets. Hang them up outside the gate of the city, just as a warning to any other prophet that might think he's going to come and preach here. That's what's going to happen to you. Scary. Nineveh was a Gentile city. You see, they didn't have much to do with Gentiles. They didn't even like to deal with Gentiles. Nineveh was a great distance away. He'd have to travel far to get to Nineveh. And Jonah, perhaps he feared failure. It seemed like an impossible task. How could one man go to a great city and deliver that hard message? You see, the first call God makes to any individual is the call to repentance and to salvation. Amen. God wants to get you into his kingdom so he can use you in the kingdom. Amen. The call does not become silent. When you repent of your sins, you get baptized in Jesus' name and glory, hallelujah, God fills you with the Holy Ghost. God's not done with you yet. That's not the end of your walk. It's the beginning. It's what God starts out doing. Amen. God has a calling on your life. Praise the Lord. Every Christian, I believe, every boy and girl and man and woman, grandpas and grandmas, have a calling of God and a purpose in their life. Praise God. You see, we are tempted to make excuses. Oh, well, I don't know how to do that. Well, you know what? None of those people knew how to do any of those things that God. Moses didn't know how to lead 3 million people. Abraham didn't know how to find a city whose builder and maker was God. The apostles didn't know how to reach the whole world. You don't have to know how to do it. God will lead you. God will help you. We're tempted with that, you know, that make excuse syndrome. And there is always a conflict between our spirit, the Holy Ghost filled Jesus calling on our life, and the flesh. Because every one of us is a human being. Every one of us has weaknesses and faults and failures. Every one of us is human. But you know what? God uses humans to do his will. Praise the Lord. Being called of God is a special mission. It is a great honor to be called by God. And there is a conflict between spirit and flesh. Just because you're called doesn't mean the conflict goes away. No, but you learn how to overcome the flesh and live by the Spirit. Amen. To live in the plan of God. Amen. Being called of God is that specially great honor. Praise the Lord. And the rejection of God's call, running from God, it causes people to do radical things. Jonah was giving up a lot to go to Tarshish. He gave up. He was leaving his family. He was leaving his ministry. He was leaving behind his prestige and his honor. They were not going to recognize him as the man of God in a heathen city. They didn't care that he was a prophet of the Lord. Assyria didn't even recognize the God that he was preaching. He was going to subject himself to the dangers of travel in his day. He was going to leave his native land. He had to pay his own way. He had to buy a ticket to get on that boat. You see, backsliders will go to great lengths to prove that their break with God is complete. That they have no calling of God in their life. You know, it's not just me. There are other people right here under the sound of my voice that you know, individuals, people who have been called by God. They've had an experience with him that ran far and long to get away from the calling of God. My sister who helped pray me into the church, called by God, anointed, blessed, ran from God. Still running from God. My brother who came with me in the very same car from Wisconsin to Virginia, wound up at the very same church, sat on the same pew, ran from God. He was brilliant, fantastic mind. He was a Bible quizzer that would memorize whole books, not just chapters, books, word for word. Every word he could tell you. I've been 40-something years and I still can't do that. I gotta look it up. But you know what? Some people will run so far and so long. So they'll deny that the calling of God is in their life. When I know God called them. They were sitting in the same place that I was when I was called. And God called us as brothers and sisters, both in Christ and in family. Some people run far from the calling of God. And you know what? When you run from God, it never turns out good. It always turns out bad. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that I can hear the calling of God. That I can heed what God is calling me to unto. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You see, the rejection of God's call took Jonah down. First, took Jonah down to Joppa. Joppa now was only 35 miles from Jerusalem. You could go there in just a day or two. And it wasn't all that far. So the first leg of Jonah's trip away from God was a short one. The first steps in running from God is always a small one. Oh, well, it don't matter if I don't go to this service. Or it don't matter if I miss that event. Oh, it don't matter if I don't go to prayer meeting. Oh, it don't matter if I, you know, miss once in a while. Well, it is possible to go to heaven and have missed a service or missed some. I'm not saying that it's going to send you to hell. Don't put words in my mouth. But I do tell you, I agree with Brother Dyke. It is a detriment to our walk with God to not serve Him all the time. Amen. What would stop me from serving the Lord? I don't want to have anything stop me from serving God. I don't want anything to be in the way of serving the Lord. I don't want to put anything before my service for God. Nothing is more important than Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. So if you're going to come to talk to me about, you better get Brother Dyke straight, I'm going to be on Brother Dyke's side. You're right. We need to serve the Lord all the time. Praise the Lord. And I didn't pay him to say those things either. Praise the Lord. He went down to Joppa, short trip. God calls us, and the devil is going to try to get you to take a short little detour. And it's leading you away from God's plan. He went down to Joppa, but didn't stop there. Then he went down into the sides of that ship. He got on board. He paid a ticket and bought a fare to go the other way. It went from bad to getting worse. Now he's in a boat and he's down inside the ship and he's about to go the wrong way. Turn around, repent, come back to God. Don't go there. What can I say? What can I do? How can I convey that you're going the wrong way? You're doing the wrong thing. That's not advisable. Come back to God. He went down into the ship. Lonely, empty, curled up in the hold of the ship, spiritually fatigued, running from God. Get this now. I would say that he was unaware of reality. He couldn't even perceive what was going on. A storm is raging. The ship, have you ever been in rough water on a boat? It's not a good ride. It's not a comfortable place. He is in the midst of a ship in a terrible storm. It's going up and down. The sailors are thinking, we're going to drown. It's the end. Call on God. Heathen, Assyrians, and not God's people are desperate. And where is Jonah? He is down in the bottom of the ship, sleeping. I tell you, he has lost reality. He doesn't even know that he's going the wrong way. He's doing the wrong thing. And he is in mortal danger of his life. He's lost reality. People running from God lose all sense of spiritual reality. They think, oh, I'm okay, I'm all right, everything's good. No, it ain't. You're going the wrong way. You're doomed. There is a disaster about to happen. You may die in sin. People lose the sense of reality when they run from God. He went down into the ship. There is a delusion that comes upon those who run from God. There is a perception that is distorted to think that right is wrong and wrong is right. You become part of a very confused world. You know, the thing that will set us straight is the Word of God. Amen. This is the book that we can trust. This is how we know if we're right or if we're wrong. Amen. So he went from going the wrong way, going to Joppa, buying that ticket. Then he got on that boat. Then he went down inside. Then he lost all reality. Things are getting worse, but they haven't got as bad as they're going to get yet. He doesn't even know what's going to happen next. He goes down into the sea. The great storm. Let me just hurry up. The people on the boat are terrified. Call on God. Jonah confesses, I'm a prophet of the God of heaven and earth, and I've disobeyed him, and I'm running from God. All the same. Oh no, you're the God, you're the reason. What should we do? Jonah tells him, if you'll just throw me overboard. Jonah tells him how to save the ship. Get rid of the backslidden guy. Well, they listen to him. I can just imagine the look on Jonah's face. You mean you're gonna throw me over? As he's going over the edge, crashing into the sea. It was a rude awakening. But he was receiving what he's sowing. He's getting what he asked for. You asked to be away from God without his blessing? You asked to be away from the blessing and protection of God? God will not bless you. God will let you make your own way in the world. Musicians, come. Let me close with this. Jonah he repented. You know that great fish? The Old Testament calls it a great fish. God had to manufacture, God had to make a special fish so that he could live in that belly. A special fish just for Jonah. You don't even understand the lengths that God will go to save your life. God will do anything to get you to live for him. Amen. God made that great fish, swallowed Jonah up. He spent 3 days down there swimming in the ocean. And you know what? That fish turned them around and went past Tarshish and went past Joppa and went over to, guess what? Right on the shores of Nineveh. Woo, amazing. Spit him out. Can you imagine? Covered with sea greed. Your skin is haze gray. You look terrible. God's just, he's ready to preach now. He was perhaps the greatest, most successful preacher ever recorded on the face of the earth. That great city. That great city, 3 days' journey, maybe, I don't know, 100,000 people repented, turned to God, and began to serve him. They changed. You know what? Let's stand with me. Jonah learned to not run from God. He learned the hard way. You don't have to learn the hard way. In fact, I would highly suggest that you don't run from God. Because you can't get away from God. You might get away from my preaching. You might get away from this church. You might get away from your family. You might get away from many things, but you're not getting away from God. You can't outrun God. So the alternative is to receive his call. It's to obey his voice. It's to do his will. Amen. Would you join me? Don't run from God. Come and worship him. Come and magnify the Lord. If you need to repent, repent of your sins today. If you need to be baptized, here is water. You could be baptized today. You could have what it is that God has for you today. Would you lift your hands? Would you join me? Would you magnify him? Would you worship the Lord? Would you join me?
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind. But now I see. Oh, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm blind, was blind, but now I see. Oh, 'twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains. Unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains. Unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good. His word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains. Unending love, amazing. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing. Sun forbear to shine, but God who called me here below will be forever mine. Oh, will be mine. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending my chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. Oh, and like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, God. Oh, I praise you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. I praise you, God. I worship you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, you are my Savior, Lord. You've been so good. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God, you're worthy, Jesus. You're worthy, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I like the end of that story. Amen. More than the struggles and troubles. But I've often wondered, you know, when Jonah and Pastor mentioned that there was a sign waiting for Jonah that said, don't preach here. Amen. But I've often wondered, because we know that the king of Nineveh, the emperor of the Assyrian host, actually heard that word of God. But I kind of wonder, because I know that he wasn't the first person to hear it. And I wish I could have been there maybe a little bit. They probably would have killed me too. If I could just be a fly on the wall there, seeing Jonah come up and say, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be destroyed. Just a short message. But there was probably a crowd. Maybe he was talking to the guards. Maybe there was a couple of merchants coming into the city. Maybe there was a couple of kids playing. I don't know who heard that word, but somebody believed it. And that's all it took, was just one person to believe that word, to really, truly believe it. Imagine the word that they just heard. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be destroyed. I mean, think about it. If you had a notice come to your house and the guys had bulldozers out front and they said, yet 40 days and your home will be destroyed, that official notice, you'd be at the town hall that minute, that hour, saying, what is going on? If you really truly believed it, you would do everything you can to stop it. Every single possible thing. And so one person, like I said, it wasn't the king that heard it first. That one person, didn't have authority of a king, didn't have the delegation of power to go and tell everybody to fast and pray. They just believed. How powerful is your faith, my friend? That if you will just believe the word, think about your families. Think about your loved ones, your friends. Amen. Think about your co-workers. If you'll just have the faith, amen, like that one person, unnamed in the scriptures, believed, what can God do? Well, what happened in Jonah's life, or in that story, was that the word was believed by more people. And then the word rose up through the ranks of the Syrian army and got to the very throne room. And the king that had the authority and had the power to say, it doesn't matter if you're a beast or a child, a woman or a man, you are not going to eat or drink for 3 days. And to dictate that complete and total repentance that saved that entire nation from a backslidden prophet. Amen. It doesn't matter where the word of God comes from. It doesn't matter whether you have the power. Because I don't have the power to make my family serve God. I don't have power to make my backslidden brother come back to the Lord. I don't have the authority to change even the mind of my own wife sometimes. Amen? But if I believe it and I walk according to that faith, amen, God is going to change my entire life. He's going to change my family. He's going to change my home. People will be saved because of the faith that I have in God. And you got to believe it. If you believe it, lift up your hands. Right now, lift up your hands. Come on. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I believe it, Lord. God, I want to walk according to my faith, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, you are so good. You're so good that even just a little spark of faith, God, that you're going to nurture it. You're going to grow it, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Come on, come on. Hallelujah. I believe it, Lord. I believe it for my family, Lord God. I believe it for my church, Lord. I believe it for my friends, God. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Only believe. Amen. Every forest fire started by just a little spark. Amen. That spark is faith, my friend. And God can change the face of your entire world. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for coming. We do have, just give us about 10 minutes. We're going to transition. We have the pastor's lunch. If you've never been to the pastor's lunch, please join us. Come. And I know some of you already RSVP'd for it. So please come today. And the next pastor's lunch is going to be July 23rd. July 23rd. So that you'll get that all on your calendars and stuff. But please join us today. Amen. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. Thank you.